Yeah. Browns play Washington. The Browns play Washington. Welcome in. Browns play Washington coming up on Sunday. We're going to get to Nathan Zagura here in a moment. First, start your game day with the Fan Bud Light Tailgate Show with Jonathan Peterlin and, ladies and gentlemen, Anthony Lima appearing at MGM Northfield Park. You excited?
You know what? It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm probably going to predict a Browns win.
Oh, you are you?
Yep. Like okay. Old times.
Ah, whoa. Live from the Neon Room at MGM Northfield Park this Sunday, starting at 10 a.m. through kickoff at 1 p.m. Yes, we'll have your chance to win a football prize pack and a Tap Sports Grill gift card. Make the Fan. Yes, the Fan. Bud Light Tailgate Show, part of your game day routine on the radio home of the Cleveland Browns, 92.3 The Fan. It's presented by Valley Automotive Group, the Buckeye Law Group, Sal's Heating and Cooling and Plumbing and Sewer. Get details at 92.3thefan.com. Question to Owen, not to Lima. He's not eligible to answer it. Who are people more excited to see at MGM Northfield Park, Lima or Wayne Newton?
Oh, that's an obvious one. The local boy made good, Anthony Lima.
I was still going to say it's still got to be Wayne Newton.
And now I'm going to get back in here and say I just saw Wayne Newton and had to explain to my wife all about Wayne Newton when he was on the Golden Bachelorette the other day.
Who currently sings Donka Shane better? Anthony Lima?
Oh, come on.
Or Wayne Newton?
Find out on Sunday.
Or Nathan Zagura.
And then find out Saturday, October 12th. Or maybe find out now. Nathan Zagura, you're on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Nathan, good morning.
Good morning, Monfrere. Good morning, Lima. Good to be with you guys.
I thought you were going to sing. You didn't even sing. Don't make him sing. All right, Nathan.
I'm not singing, no.
Sunday.
Man's got to know his limitations, Ken.
Is Sunday a must win? Unfair question.
I don't know if it's a must win, but it's a very important game for this team to win. Getting to 1-4 would be, I think, a very deep hole, considering that you're then going on the road to Philadelphia, then home for Cincinnati and Baltimore. It feels like a very important game, and honestly, the Browns would tell you they shouldn't be in this situation, but self-inflicted wounds have been catastrophic the last 2 weeks, and the Browns find themselves at 1-3. So I think it is a critically important game. I think they've got to go, when you kind of look at the schedule overall, to be either 5-4 or 4-5 going into the bye week. And so there are multiple ways to do that, but it does feel like you've got to split one of these 2 out of 3 at home to have really any chance to be in a position to make a second half run.
All right, Nathan, I need some ammo to respond to a troll that emails us from time to time. I'm just going to go ahead and read the email to you. Quote, you guys really said Deshaun Watson played well versus the Raiders. He averaged 5.4 yards per attempt. Do you guys realize that is horrible? And he capitalized every letter in the word horrible.
So we knew what
so
he meant.
So we knew it. Nathan, we both thought he played well. And we don't have to belabor the flag, and we don't have to belabor the drop by Amari, but, I mean, we thought he played well.
He did play well. He played very well. I thought he saw it. I thought he was through with some anticipation. You know, if you take a 30-yard completion to Amari Cooper that then registers as an interception, and you add that back, obviously the holding penalty. You're talking about a game where a guy threw for 290, 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks, had a rating in the 120s, and the Browns win, and everybody's going nuts. I thought he played very well. Dan Orlovsky, who has been very critical of him really all year, said that he thought he played a great game in that one. The analytics all say that he played a great game. Look, this is a win and loss business, and so, you know, the notion of moral victories that, at least it looked good. We should have beaten the Raiders. And I thought Deshaun played very well. I don't think he was in any way, shape, or form the reason we did not beat the Raiders. But unfortunately, when you're the quarterback, you get more of the praise when it's good and more of the blame when it's not. And that's just kind of the nature of the beast of that position. But he did play significantly better in that game. And I think he's been kind of trending that way really over the course of the season. And so I think Deshaun Watson's putting together performances that certainly are capable of winning in the National Football League, but he needs some help. I mean, we lead the league in drops, lead the league in sacks allowed, lead the league in pressures allowed. That's a hard way to play. There was a ranking, I don't know if you guys saw it, but there was a ranking that was to kind of, at Pro Football Focus, to isolate everything that's happening around a quarterback. So they took a team's pass blocking grades, run blocking grades, rushing grades, receiving grades. It was everything but the passing grade for a team, added them up. The Browns are 32nd out of 32 teams in the National Football League, dead last. So the support certainly has not been there, but everybody's got to step up their game. And to your guys' point earlier, if it's a must-win, there isn't a lot of time to get this figured out and get this ship righted.
Nathan Zagura quoting PFF, which of course has Harold Fannin Jr., the number one tight end in the country and the number one college football ranked player in the country. I'll have that game coming up Saturday. Nathan Zagura will have the game on Sunday. So,
did you ever see Tommy Boy? Nathan, you remember the part where she says that's when the whores come in and the World War II vet starts talking about it? That's how I feel when he brings up Harold Fannin Jr.
Gotta watch him.
He's made my life a living hell ever since.
Bowling Green tight end, Nathan. During your prep work on Saturday, I suggest you watch. Nathan, you said trending in the right direction. So if he continues to play like that, obviously the last play of the game notwithstanding, which was inexplicable that he didn't decide to throw the football, but there were myriad issues that plagued that doomed that specific play. If he continues playing like this, then do you think that'll be enough to erase a lot of the conversation about all these issues that have popped up with this football team?
Yes, but at the end of the day, the only thing that's going to erase the conversations is him playing well and the Browns winning, right? That's literally it. That's what this is all about. He was brought here to help this team win, and right now around him things are happening that are not elevating him at all, and unfortunately, you know, we haven't been able to overcome it. That last play, I think he had an opportunity, obviously, to rip it to Akins, but he was looking at Amari. And then by the time he would have come back to Jerry Jeudy, you know, Christian Wilkins had already was basically in his lap and had to get him out of the pocket. So it's just been so many little things, death by a thousand cuts for this football team. But if you're talking about narratives, this is a binary business. If you were to isolate, for example, last year with Joe Flacco, right? Joe Flacco only played so many games with the Browns and led the NFL in pick sixes thrown for the season. But because you're winning, that doesn't matter. It's all the good, the 300-yard games, the multiple touchdowns. And he did it. Joe Flacco was phenomenal, and it was so fun. But it's about that changes everything. Winning and losing changes everything in the NFL. If you want positive press, you've got to win in the NFL. You want negative press, you're going to get it when you don't win in the NFL. And right now, the Browns are 1-3 for the first time under Kevin Stefanski. And so there's a lot of negative press about this football team.
And things are pretty negative. Nathan Zagura joining us here on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. So do you have ideas how you get that offense going a little bit?
I think, honestly, it's a lot of – I'll go back to the same thing I've been saying, self-inflicted wounds. How does the offense play better? Well, they've got to block better. The essence of football is what? When you're out there coaching your boys, Ken, what do you start with? Blocking and tackling. The Browns are very bad at blocking, and the last 2 weeks – they've missed 23 tackles. They're very bad at tackling. So that's the fundamental essence of playing football in the National Football League. For this offense, what does that mean? Got to block better. You got to give your quarterback time. I thought when they did against the Raiders, he was significantly better. You've got to catch the football when it's thrown to you. The Browns lead the league in drop passes. You got to catch the football when it's thrown to you, and you cannot have a drop pass certainly turn into a turnover like it did in that game. And then pre-snap penalties or even post-snap penalties. It was a penalty that wiped out an 82-yard touchdown. It was a pre-snap penalty by Amari Cooper in that game that wiped out a first down that turned a drive that was going to be into Vegas territory, put you behind the sticks, and all of a sudden you end up punting the ball back. So it's all those little things are adding up to be very difficult for this football team to overcome. And that, I think, is the big problem. Now, Jerome Ford had one nice run. The other part of it is that we can't get any push at all in the ground game. We're not even averaging a yard per carry before our running backs take contact. You cannot run the football successfully like that in the NFL. And then defensively, you know, you play a Raiders team that had about 150 yards rushing through three games, and you give up over 150 to them in one game. And why? It goes back to tackling, missed tackles. The Browns had a dozen of them in this game. And so at some point, you got to get back to the fundamentals, do the little things, blocking and tackling. And hopefully that'll allow you to build not only better production on offense, because Browns are the only team in the league without a 300-yard game. They're the only team in the league without a 20-point game. They have got to be more efficient, more effective, and then obviously finish drives. We start great every game. And you're up 7-0 on the Giants. You're up 10-0 on the Raiders. Those games have to be wins.
Nathan Zagura joining us here. Well, you see, Nathan, that was going to be my next question, was are we taking out our frustrations on the offense, on the defense, but then when you give up 152 yards, it's like, well, that's going to be frustrating in its own right. How good is the defense, or how frustrating has the defense been throughout the season?
I think the defense has been at times really, really good, especially kind of in the second half of games. They've been lights out, but the missed tackles are a big problem. Inopportune penalties, again, similar to the offense, big problem. Go back to the Browns have had either a touchdown last week or a turnover erased by penalty in three straight games. You think about the fumble down in Jacksonville on the kickoff return. You think about the interception against the Giants from the roughing the passer. And I think for the defense, you know, that's been a problem. Twice now in 2 weeks, you have basically eliminated a turnover that has directly led to points for the opponent and ultimately changed the outcome of the game in a one-score game. Because against the Giants, it was the roughing the passer by Greg Newsome. That erases Ronnie Hickman's interception. Heck, that game could have been 14-0, and at that point, the Giants may have folded up. But instead, the drive extends. They go on a 13-plus play, 80-plus yard drive. They get a touchdown. You go last week. You get off the field against the Raiders, roughing the passer on Alex Wright. That extends the drive. Guess what? They scored on that drive as well. So it's a lot of little things that have led to big things. Missed tackles extending drives, and then penalties extending drives. And so they've allowed some of these long drives kind of interspersed in with the normal defense we expect, which is getting to the quarterback, Myles Garrett being sensational, and then, of course, the defense on the back end being good. But it has not totally clicked, I don't think, like it did a year ago yet. And I hope that, obviously, the time is now. And I can tell you there is such a focus and a sense of urgency. I got to talk to Grant Delpit last night, who is off to a very solid start this season and certainly has been one of the guys that has been very sound in his tackling. And they feel it. There is a sense of urgency, and they realize that it's not going to be easy. The Commanders have 23 scoring drives. They have 19 incompletions. That hasn't happened since 1973, where a team through four games had more scoring drives than incompletions. They've only punted four times. So you want to test, and you want a big spotlight. This is a team averaging 33 points a game over their last three. You're going to get it for the Browns defense against the Commanders this Sunday.
All right, what have you seen, Nathan, when it comes to Jaden Daniels and the Cliff Kingsbury offense that they are running right now? What is it about them that they've been able to secure so many scoring drives?
Number one, they're executing on a level that's never been seen before. And when I mean never been seen before, Jaden Daniels is completing, you know, over 82% of his passes. It's the best four-game stretch in the history of the NFL. Nobody else has done that. He's had two games where they haven't even punted. You add up the careers of, I'm pretty sure it's Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, and there's one other one. Oh, and Mahomes. And they have combined to have two such games in their careers, including the playoffs, like 1,400 games. What's happening is they're doing two things very well. Number one, they're running the ball well. And Brian Robinson, a couple games over 100 yards, and they mix in Eckler or McNichols. They're both averaging over 6 yards a carry. They are doing a good job of protecting their line as number two in the NFL in pass blocking efficiency. They've been great. And so what you're seeing is a team that can run it, and they have the threat of the quarterback run. He is second behind only Lamar Jackson in quarterback rushing yards. He is first in with four rushing touchdowns. And they're great on third down. They're great on fourth down. They're the number one third down offense. That's how you sustain drives. And then sometimes when they go for it on fourth down, they have been very, very clutch. They get it to McLaurin down the field. Zach Ertz underneath has 15 catches. The backs catch the ball very well. Austin Eckler's averaging 13.4 yards a catch. That leads all running backs in the NFL. So they've just done a good job of spreading it around. He's incredibly accurate. And when you watch him, they'll use multiple tight ends. They'll do some max protects. He kind of gets to the top of his drop. If the ball's not out quick on the ones where he holds it, he gets to the top of his drop, almost stands flat-footed, and waits for somebody to come open, and then he rips it into them. And if they don't, by the time one person kind of gets through their line, which has been so good, he runs away from them and picks up yards with his feet. So it's tough. It's tough because it's difficult to play man coverage against them, because if you do, you have to dedicate a spy to Jaden Daniels because he is that effective of a runner. And so that takes one of your kind of zone defenders from the middle of the field out of the equation and makes it more difficult for everybody, because you don't have just an absolute funnel them to the inside technique from your corners. They're good. It is a very good offense. It is a very dynamic offense, and they are able to hit big plays over the top to McLaurin, which they've done, and really just kind of beat you into submission as well with Brian Robinson, who already has two 100-yard rushing games this year.
Nathan Zagura joining us. Two more questions. One, we're going to rock, paper, scissors to have to ask you. First question, though, make it short if you can. Cliff Kingsbury, will he be a head coach again in the NFL?
I'm going to say no, and yes, not because yes. I don't think somebody will want to make him a head coach again. I don't know that he wants to be a head coach. I think he might just want to call plays and be an offensive coordinator. He loves Jaden Daniels. I think he'll be there for a while.
All right, you ready, Tom?
All right, here we got to do it. We got to do it.
Here we go. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. You ready?
Yeah.
Rock, paper, scissors, shoot.
Yeah. Paper every time, baby.
You already know what I'm going to ask you, don't you?
Pretty sure. Go ahead.
What am I going to ask you?
No, go ahead. I'll tell you afterwards if that's what I thought you were going to ask me.
Yeah. What did you think of Baker Mayfield yesterday?
Okay, yep, I did. I had that one. I'm happy for Baker Mayfield. I think that it's what's wild to me about this whole situation is you have people who are like, yeah, we're the Baker bros, as you call them. Yeah, we're totally right.
Oh, I didn't say that. I didn't call him that, Nathan. Hold on.
Reckless speculation.
We struck that word from the show. That word was stricken from the show, that phrase.
I'm just saying people who are watching Baker Mayfield play right now in 2024, playing great, and I couldn't be happier for the guy, are conflating that, I think, with the Baker Mayfield that was playing here in 2021. And yes, he was hurt, but he wasn't the same quarterback. And this is a guy who went to Carolina, didn't work out there, and then I really think resurrected his career with Sean McVay in L.A. on a Thursday night against the Raiders. I think that was such a turning point for him in that time with McVay. And now he is kind of, I think, and he said it, so I'm not saying these are my words, these are his words. He kind of needed to mature, and he needed to be humbled a little bit, and he was. And now he's playing great football, and I couldn't be happier for him. They're fun to watch. That was a great, great football game last night. He was great. I thought Kirk Cousins was great. I still cannot believe that the Atlanta Falcons used the 8th overall pick when they could have picked the best defensive player in that draft, that they decided to draft a quarterback who's not going to play because you gave Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed. And by the way, he's still really good.
Yeah, I'm really happy for him, too. Great. Awesome. Really just for him.
Why does it matter? It's not like he went from the Browns to the Bucs. He went to Carolina. He went to L.A. He plays in the NFC. I don't understand. Like,
it doesn't matter except from 6 to 10 when people call me up and harass me over it. Then it matters.
Tell him, move on.
No.
Sometimes people need to move on from certain situations. They need to let things go and move on.
Well, I'm going to say something after you get off the phone because I don't want to have to say it in front of you about moving on. But Nathan.
Great.
Yeah, he knows.
I'm going to listen now just because I'm curious what you're going to say.
Let me put it on hold. Nathan, thank you very much for the time, buddy.
You got it, guys.
Nathan Zagura on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. For those people, it's hard to move on when your team's 1-3 now. It's that simple. And there's still how much left on that contract? And they still want me because I said he played well on Sunday? Our guy, not their guy, our guy. Okay. It's pretty hard to move on. Anyway, go Guardians. If you don't make him good, I used to threaten you with all the...
I know what we're going to do.
What?
We're going to open up the phone lines for Baker or Deshaun. I mean, that's exactly what we're going to do.
Thank you very much. You either make him good or we're going to open up the phone lines and say Baker or Deshaun. What a threat that was. Holy Toledo.
Hey, you want to do that? And we're not even going to talk. It'll just be phone call, phone call, phone call.
I'll throw out the number and I'll say 216-474-0092, Baker Mayfield or Deshaun Watson. Which one would you rather be quarterback of your Browns right now? Do you guys want to do that or do you want to do coming in hot the right way? It's your choice.
Come on, guys.
What? It's true.
Cleveland, come on, please.
Yeah.
Oh, I was about to say.
This is an important
one. Don't blame us. Blame them.
This is a must-win segment.
I have to sit here through no matter what happens.
Yeah, you do.
Come on, guys.
It'll hurt me much more than it'll hurt them. Are we putting some of our frustration on the defense because we're frustrated with the offense?
Okay, so I have been secretly more frustrated with the defense, especially that last game. And I know that sounds ridiculous considering the offensive numbers are in the doldrums, but... The offense, I expected the offense to struggle at the start of the year. So I didn't expect them to be this bad, but I expected them to struggle.
Well, according to you, just, 7 days ago, it was still preseason, so.
Yeah.
And now it's not preseason all of a sudden. We go from it's still preseason to win or die.
And now
Excellent.
It is. Well, you're in a hole.
And that's why.
You're in a hole.
That's why champions pose. That's why it is right there. You can't sit there and tell me for 3-4 weeks that it's still preseason, and then you do something like that. Champions freaking pose.
That's,
please remember that.
That's part
that
of the problem. It has looked that way for the offense. And
God.
Now defensively, what happened against Daniel Jones, what happened against Gardner Minshew, like you were expected in year two of this system, you were expecting them to be dominating. I get Myles Garrett has not been a full-time player for them. He has been missing a lot of snaps. Now, Daryl did say it was 50% of the snaps 2 weeks ago, and this past week it was closer to 60%. So that's good, but I don't know if we're out of the woods when it comes to him and his injuries, because it's like both feet are causing him issues, and he's when he plays, the snaps that he plays, he's like the most dominant guy ever, which makes me even more frustrated with the rest of the line, because those guys should be capitalizing on how he is completely wrecking a defense right now, and unfortunately, that has not been the case. Just him being dominant has not been enough to keep Daniel Jones, you know, get them off the football field, and Gardner Minshew. So let's go. You're going up against a rookie quarterback this week. Let's go. I know he's been amazing, but he's not really supposed to have four straight great weeks in a row where they never punt.
216-474-0092. I'm still they still turned over Las Vegas. They still got a touchdown on defense. I'm still holding on about the defense. I'm concerned about giving up 152 yards on the ground. It's still 1 week where you gave up 152 yards on the ground. It hasn't been the same. I think that you've put your defense in a tough position. The offense has put their defense in a tough position. I think you've had to, if you're going to win any of these games, I think you had to win them defensively. What did they do against Jacksonville? Again, you came out, you led, you took care of the business for the most part, but your defense, what was it, 44% of the plays went for a tackle for a loss or 0 yards? I mean, that's huge. So your defense carried you to that victory. If I'm willing to meet anybody halfway, I'll meet you halfway on Dallas. That's the only thing I'm willing to meet you halfway on. Hey, it's week one, this, that, and the other. Fine. The other games, I'm not meeting you halfway on. That one ain't going to happen. Like, you got to get going. Defensively, I'm still at a point of I'm not freaking out yet. Not thrilled. I don't have as much confidence in them as I did last year, but I'm not freaking out yet. Offensively, I think it's total panic mode. I do. When I hear about, you know, and it's starting to become a question about what you want to do with your offensive coordinator and whether or not, if this was a forced marriage, if you're Kevin Stefanski, would you just let him call plays? If this was like a forced thing, maybe you didn't want to bring in. I mean, they're going to always say the line, the natural line of, oh, we're all aligned and everything's fine. If this is forced, first off, do you think it's forced?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay. So you think it's forced, and I'd have to admit I think it's probably forced. Then...
I don't think Stefanski wanted to get rid of Van Pelt. No.
Would you just want to wash your hands of it?
And just give it over to Ken Dorsey.
And give it over to Ken Dorsey.
The guy that got fired in Buffalo and then their offense got turned around. This is so hard. This is so hard right now because it's not working. What they are doing right now is not working. We are getting the absolute worst. The absolute worst out of this situation. That's the issue. We are getting the worst out of Kevin Stefanski right now. Fresh off coach of the year, fresh off, you know, the unbelievable run they went on to December, a playoff appearance, doing it with four different quarterbacks. You could say five, but it's a little misleading. Now, all of a sudden, we're getting the worst out of the head coach. And so these are issues. These are issues that we have to contemplate.
216-474-0092. All right, let me get to Sam and Avon Lake. You're next up on the fan. Hello, Sam.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey,
doing okay, Sam. Go ahead.
Good. So my whole thing is right now with the Browns, nobody to me, as if I've seen it for the past four games, no one's stepped up to be, hey, come on, guys, what are we going to do here? No one's stepping up to be the leader. Is it going to be Deshaun to step up to be the leader now? Does he have to do it? Because I saw him talking to Juan Jones. He's starting to get angry, you know. He's starting to lash out versus him being quiet the past, you know, year or so. Who's going to be that guy to be, I know, you know, 2018, who's going to be the Jarvis Landry who came in and said, let's go, let's be a team now? Get what I mean?
Sam, I'm looking for the natural leadership. And I was ready. I tell you what, before I saw the situation of what happened on the sideline, I really felt that the sideline thing as an outside observer, I thought that that was more of a breakthrough instead of something that we were freaking out. Because I'm
stuff,
like, he
that
is,
stuff can actually be healthy.
That, I'm like, he's in somebody's ear. He's telling them about themselves. There's frustration going on. I mean, they missed a clear-cut touchdown that could possibly happen there. Something needs to be said. And then when Deshaun went back over and said something in his ear, I actually felt better about it. You didn't hear us ripping them this week for the problem that they might have had on the sideline there. I thought that might have been a breakthrough. Because before that game, when I'm reading that Jameis Winston is the one giving all the stuff there, I don't even know if we have him anymore. We don't have Sam anymore. When I hear that Jameis Winston is the one giving all the speeches, then I start to kind of wonder what's going on. And so I don't necessarily, we got a lot of things going on behind the scenes here. Then I start to wonder what's happening. You gotta say something, Toast.
Sorry.
I know, man. I don't know what's going on in there.
I didn't have a problem at all with the sideline thing. I think that's actually a normal functioning NFL sideline, and it shows you that where their frustrations are. Now, I know it's easy to look at that and say, it's only going to get worse. No, it's only going to get worse if they don't get better. Just because they have a sideline issue, that doesn't mean it can't get better. They all know they're supposed to be better than this. They all know where the expectations were. Now, are you going to argue maybe the pressure is getting to them a little bit, and if they lose another one? Yes, things do steamroll in this league. Things can get away from an NFL football team early. It's just, it's not supposed to be this team. It's not supposed to be this team with Myles Garrett, with the talent that is on this team. And even if a bunch of guys aren't playing to their caliber, to their levels, they still have in that building. Do you disagree, Kane? Do they not have in that building enough to get over the hump here?
Yeah.
Certainly not to look like the worst team in football, which is they look like one of the worst teams in football right now.
They have enough to, well, now I'm wondering, like, you were making a big deal about setting the bar. I made a big deal about you making a big deal about six wins. They should be better than a 6-win football team. You should hold them to a standard of the playoffs. So if they can't make the playoffs, then I think we do have to talk about changes. Well, if they're 1-3, not a lot of people are thinking they're going to make the playoffs right now. And if they're 1-4, that just about cooks their goose. Because at least if Cincinnati could lie to themselves and say they have Joe Burrow, whether or not that's true or not, we'll find out during the year. But this team at 1-4, this team I don't think can get out of this hole. They got to win on Sunday. Like, you need your win to save your season and maybe even to save jobs by all this, because I'm telling you, man, they lose this game on Sunday, then I think we're talking about I think we're talking about people's futures here. I think the coach is up for grabs again. The quarterback is up for grabs again. That I think we're honestly figuring out who we want to keep between the two. And if there is a choice to make, because I don't know if they're going to run it back together in 2025, and then you got to talk about the general manager. Guys, it might be October 13th next week. Don't care. You're still going to do that. 216-474-0092. Real quick, Tarik Skubal, looks like he may go game two. We talked about it being a must-win tomorrow coming up against the Detroit Tigers. Must-win tomorrow. You talked me into it being a must-win tomorrow. I did not want to call it a must-win tomorrow, and then when I think about their, because if I look at their rotation right now, it seems it's going to be, what I'm guessing, it might be an educated one. It seems it's going to be Tanner Bibee tomorrow, obviously. I'm thinking Matt Boyd, obviously, on Monday. And then it may be, because somebody said, well, what about Alex Cobb in game three, not Gavin Williams? Well, the reason I was wondering about Alex Cobb is because Alex Cobb has only threw, 36 pitches in the sim game. Is he an opener?
That was on Sunday.
Yeah.
And he threw again, or he's throwing again today, maybe.
But we're worried about blisters.
So, well, they might be past the blister point now.
Okay.
That was not a pun.
I'm thinking of blister pack. That's right.
Did you ever get blisters? I used to get them on my feet. We didn't have shoes that fit back in the Lima household when I was young.
Jeez.
I used to take a needle, warm it up, and pop them.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Tell me more.
You didn't have shoes that fit when you were a kid?
It was a sad existence. Used to pop them, though. That was very relieving.
That's a sad state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
Coming in hot, coming up next, 216-474-0092. Boy, that's one hell of a way to end the Guardians segment right there.
I was just going to let him go a little further.
And what would happen is, you know, you'd be worried about infection, right? You'd be worried about infection.
I would think so.
So I was, you know, young and stupid, and I would take the needle and put it in soap, a bar of soap, thinking that that would do anything. And then I'd go, it's time to pop the blisties. And I would warm it up a little bit. warm it up with, at the time, my mom was a big smoker. So, you know, she would have either matches. That would be
halfway to free base.
And then I would go and I'd go blisty hunting. And sometimes there would be like three or four. And when you would see those pop, the relief, it was spectacular. I mean, it really felt great. I don't know what happened to those blisters. I don't get them anymore.
This would be the right time to tell you guys that choosing clothes for kids is on the Near East Side, please. If you have anything in your heart, please make sure to give them something if you can. Brand new shoes go a long way, clearly. I did not know that about you, and I don't know whether to shake my head or give you a hug.
Certainly hope that doesn't come up next.
No.
Coming in hot.
The needle was hot. That's how I was able to get through those blisters.
Okay, coming in hot. Coming up next.
Putting that needle out.
And I'm serious about this. Don't be mentioning sponsors. Don't be mentioning other media members by name. Dance around it. Don't be cussing.
Hey, and don't be cussing.
Because if you do, we have to dump it. Then we're going to do Baker or Deshaun. It's that simple. It's up to you guys.
Don't be graphic with your...
Yes. 216-474-0092. Coming in hot. Coming up next on The Fan.